Okay, so we're dealing with the sugya of hishtadlus of the Botayach. What does the hishtadlus of a Batochen, of a Baal Batochen, look like? So we spoke here about many things. At Bochen, the Ike word here was at Batochen. Hishtadlus is about being Makadosh Shem Shemayim. The hishtadlus doesn't do anything, but you have to do it so that. The Chovis Lava says it's a test. You're being tested to see that you'll make kosher ishtadlis. But ishtadlis is the biggest problem we have in working with betochen. When you think about it, if you've thought about it, if you haven't thought about it, then don't bother. It shouldn't bother you. But if you've thought about it, if you've been challenged by this, you'll recognize that your biggest obstacle to betochen is ishtadlis. There's no greater obstacle to betochen than ishtadlis. Rav Dessler discusses it at length, the place to deal with it. We want to try and touch on some of the aspects of it. The challenge is obviously why am I making the status? The status doesn't do anything. Panos is going to happen anyway. Will it happen anyway? Ooh, sure. Thank you. You've got trouble on both sides. Andy's back. This table was a bit imbalanced. Okay. So, in Achinam, you have to make ishtadlis because you have to be Makadosh Shem Shemayim. Not going to take away from that. It's choshu, we need to know that. I want to get a little bit more halacha lemaisa. One of the questions we have is how much ishtadlis do I have to make? How much ishtadlis do I have to make? How much Kiddush Shem Shemayim do I need to make? How much ishtadlis do I need to make? That's the biggest question, yeah? And the Chovis HaLevavos makes that a serious problem. Because if you're making too little ishtadlis, it says you chayv benafshe, like you committed suicide. And if you're making too much ishtadlis, you're going to lose your chaylek of that extra ishtadlis you're making, that coming out of your cheshbon of olam habah. You could have been learning. You could have been doing avodas hakodesh, and you're busy faffing around doing too much ishtadlis. That's a critical question. Now, we're not going to find the exact nakuda, but hopefully I'll be able to give you what I got from my rabbi. Dessler, Talmidim of Rav Dessler, something to at least start some trial and error with. Some of you might have heard this idea before, we've spoken about it before, but it's a critically important sugya, and I want to try and just at least touch some of the aspects here. Making too much ishtadlis can be a problem, making too little ishtadlis can be a problem. We have to get in touch with it. So let's look at the sugya as broadly as we can. I'm not going to be learning it like Gemara Sugya. It will take us 10 years. When I first met Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, he was on his way to give his 48th shiur in the Tochen in Osamach. He used to give a shiur Thursday nights in Osamach. I went with Rabbi Katz to pick him up, to bring him to the shiur. He was about to give shiur number 48. I was a new guy on the block. I said, 48 shiur in the Tochen? I mean, how hard is the Tochen? 48 shiur. Yeah. By the time it was lifted, it was a couple hundred. You still don't understand what the Tochen is. So. The Mesillas Yesharim, let's start there, says that a person has to make minimum hishtadlis. Minimum hishtadlis. I'm not going to what hishtadlis you should make. Remind me, we'll discuss it afterwards, exactly how you go about knowing what is valid hishtadlis for you. But I think it's about how much. Minimum. But it doesn't tell us what the minimum is. How much is minimum? So people will tell you whatever's normal in the world today. That's what you'll get. We don't want to go with it. I want to try and put something a little bit more Torah deep in there. What's the minimum? So I'm going to leave the Tochen for a while and just try and lay down a principle here, and we'll come back to the Tochen. In Hilchus Tshuva. Person does an Aveira, and then he does Tshuva. He's called a Tshuva Shleima. Was he better off before he did the Aveira, or after he did the Aveira and did Tshuva? After? Any other? But we're not really in the Sefer of Shmuel. No, I'm off the page. You're not going to find this anywhere there. Are you better before or after you did the Aveira? Tshuva Shleima, I said. I was careful the words I used because I don't want to get too deep into Yochus Tshuva. Tshuva, Well, your day of kol talumoy snows is not going to be chayzer. Doesn't mean you won't do it again. That's why I don't want to get into the old sugya, because it becomes bilbul. I just needed to extract the yasod. You're not learning again. But also, Erev Yom Kippur, we usually talk about that one. Let me ask you a question. Before he did the Aveira, could he do the Aveira?
Yes.
Or Raya? He did the Aveira. After he's done the Aveira and done Tshuva, much less. Okay, we can go with that. No, I'm saying that. No, I'm saying that's what Binyamin was touching on. Okay. Or it's highly unlikely that he'll do the Aveira again because he's at Charotta. So, a person at Charotta, you really at Charotta, proper Charotta. That's the real test. Oh, proper Charotta must be day one. If a person has proper charotta, it's unlikely that he'll go back and do the Aveira again. So he's better off having done the Aveira and done tshuva than having never done the Aveira. That doesn't mean you should go do the Aveira. We're talking about after the fact. And it's the same with the mitzvah. Somebody did a mitzvah and then he had charotta, then he did the mitzvah. He's better off. Before he did the mitzvah, after he did the mitzvah, now he's mitzvah. He did the mitzvah. A guy knocked on his door and asked him for tzedakah. And in a moment of weakness, he gave the guy $10,000. And afterward, he was like, idiot, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Oh, he's better off having not done the mitzvah than having done the mitzvah mitcharet, because now the next guy that knocks on his door ain't going to get anything. I want to get into the subject of Charotta now, because our subject's not Tshuva, our subject is Ishtadlus. Now, a person had a certain level of Betochen. He was at a certain level of Betochen, and he decided based on his level of Betochen, this year he's not going to work, he's going to sit and learn for the year. Vashem Yazor Panos. He knows the Panosa doesn't come from his work. He has enough Betochen to take off the year, and he takes off the year and he sits and learns. At the end of the year, he does some calculations, and it doesn't look so good. And he thinks to himself, idiot, what were you thinking? Was he better off in terms of his Betochen, having not taken that year off and learned, or is he better off having done it? Not taken off. Why? Because he's damaged the betochen that he had. Why? Because before he did what he did, could he do it? Yeah, his level of betochen enabled him to do it. After he's done it, you offer him another year, he's not going to do it. That means his betochen's gone down. You get the principle? Okay. What comes out? His betochen's been damaged. Yes, why? Because he can't do what he did before now. He's been Tala Rishonis. That means the status he made wasn't enough, so that if it doesn't work, he won't be Tala Rishonis. That's the vote. That's the Nakuda we're looking for. You need to make enough betochen that if it doesn't work, you won't regret having done it. You'll have felt, listen, I did all the problems Ishtadis I could have. Hashem did whatever Hashem did. Not, idiot, why didn't you make more Ishtadis? That's the nakuda that a person has to get to, the minimum Ishtadis you can make without being Tala Rishonis, without having Charotta, that maybe I could have done more, things would have been better. I have a level of a Tochen that enabled me to close my shop for a year and go sit and learn. After I've done it, I could never do it again because I've had Charotta. I've regretted it. I could never go and do that again. God damn it, my Tochen. This is what it's all about. That's what Ishtadlus is all about. Ishtadlus doesn't do anything to make the panasa, but you have to do it. How much? Minimum. What's the minimum? The minimum you need to make. You need to make so that you won't be regretful of having done what you did when it doesn't work out. When it works out, it's great. Everyone's a big Baal B'tochen when it's going well. Yeah, of course. For sure. You're going to be a big Baba talking when, you know, the checks are coming in and everything's working nice. I'm using Panos an example. It's a cloud everywhere. That's the Nakuda of Ishtadlus. And that's why the famous Rabban says you have to make Ishtadlus. You know why? Putting aside the gzeis apecha toicha lechem, that's all true. Nothing I'm saying that detracts from anything we've learned up to now. You have to make ishtadus to protect your betochen. That's what ishtadus is about. It's about kiddush Hashem, and it's about all the other things that all the rishonim talk about. I'm not taking away from that. But halacha lamaisa, practically, this helps you a lot. Now, like I said right at the beginning, this is going to be a trial of your experience. Because you don't really know what that nukud is. You have to play with it.
That always changes, right?
Huh?
It always changes.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's always wired into the system. For sure. How about it? Your betochen's going up, your betochen's going down. How about it? You have to be of course.
Your needs, your family.
For sure. Huh? You have a new child, or you're busy starting with siddukim, start marrying off children. So you're about it. That's why it's a very fluid thing, but it's a very personal thing as well. Once you have to ask charters, you're not objective. I'm saying, but it's a trial and error experience. That's where the nakuda of ishtadlis comes in. Now, ishtadlis is not your biggest interference with betochen, it's the biggest aid you have to betochen. Like we said right in the beginning, the biggest obstacle to betochen is ishtadlis. When you regret it, then you'll know that right. That's your point. It's trial and error. It's very hard to know. Theoretically, I can give you a lot of answers to that, but we're not about theory, not philosophy 101. Practically, it's very hard to find that liquid, and you have to play with it.
Let's start very low and go a little bit higher each time.
Nevada, always, with everything. Everything, you always extreme. Take one small step at a time. Of course. But you have a track record. You have experience. Like, you weren't born today. You know. I was having a discussion with somebody yesterday about refuah. How much ishtadus refuah? First, slightly different to panasa, but the chovis olavavus lumped them together. So I took the liberty to lump them together, even though they don't really lump together so well. So he was telling me about refuah and doctors and blah blah blah. I said, listen, do you honestly believe that the ishtadus you make makes your panos? No, for sure. That is got clear. I said, so why do you think your ishtadus is going to doctors refuah you? Is it the same Hashem that's giving you panos? The same Hashem that's being marked to you? You just have a mix of ishtadus, whatever that is. In each case, you didn't think of that. You didn't understand that the ishtadlis is an interference to your betochen in refuah as well. Who's the worst? It's a very difficult nisoy. For some people, panos is harder. For some people, refuah is harder. Each one's got his nisoy. But how much ishtadlis you have to make in refuah doesn't work according to this exactly. Because there's other in yonim in halacha that a person has to find the best doctors and whatever. I said, I'm not going to that too much. Oh, let's focus on panosa, because that's, for most people, that's where the ikkasoyin is. I have a much harder nisoyin with refuah than I do with panosa. Other people, it's the opposite, whatever. Today, it's not hard to see that the reifim, with all apologies to the doctors, I don't want to insult any doctors, but the doctors themselves know how little they really know about the workings of the body. And we also don't understand too much about panosa, you know. Corona came along and made people realize, what do we understand about, you know, he struggles for panosa? There were guys that made a fortune because of corona, the guys that lost a fortune. I don't understand. The world went upside down for panosa. But a person has to go back and make some cheshbonos. If I would do this and it doesn't work, how much will I regret having done it? If I would do this ishtadlis or cut back this ishtadlis or whatever, or have this much betochen, and it doesn't work out at the end of the day, how much will I regret having done that and not having done more or done something different? That's always the question you have to ask. No, we never want to go. No, we don't want to do. No, you have to make ishtadlis. And it's a trial and error environment. It's a trial and error environment. No one here can tell me, I know exactly how much I need to pay. Maybe people that have been working on this have experience. They're in a track with their ishtadlis in the top and they've got a nice balanced life. Good, okay, fine. But most people, different, and as Rav Daniel said, yeah, life changes. You know, when you just get married, it's different to when you have your first kid. When you start marrying off your kids, when you retire, there's different, all different stages of life. You just made Aliyah to Israel, so now you've really been challenged. A whole new world. I'm saying it never really stands still, but you have to take your experiences forward with you. You've had experience. You know that the bad deal you made you panosa. You know that the thing that you mamash was sure was going to work lost you money. You know that. Reb Shaina Zatzal told us when he spoke here that he asked Moshe Reichman, another great big gvir, the richest Jew ever, whatever, Moshe Reichman asked him, how did you make so much money? He said, I'll tell you. One day Hashem put a trick in my head to buy a building. And I bought a building and I made a lot of money. He said, and then Hashem came along and put a trick in my cop to do a project in London. If you remember Canary Wharf. And I lost a lot of money. That's how I made my money. Hashem put stuff in my head. I bought a building, I made a lot of money. I sold the building, I lost a lot of money. That's Hilchus Betochen. Buy a building. So how'd you buy a building? No, it's got to be done properly. You don't just close your eyes. The first estate agent that walks into your office and says, I've got a building for you, you buy. And then you realize you bought a dud. So now you have charot or you don't have charot. So first of all, check out what you're buying. I'm saying there's some truth to the general statement that you have to make what's called normal ishtadlis. Whatever's called normal. I don't like that because there's no such thing as normal ishtadlis. Tlali, it's a very personal thing. But to start off with, do what's normal. You can't have regret when you did what's normal. When you start testing your betochen, you start squeezing, you start pushing, you start taking your betochen further, then you can get into a bit of trouble, but you have to do that as well. If you can pick up 10K bench press, it doesn't help doing 10K bench press the rest of your life. You're not going to build any muscle. You want to take your betochen further. There are things you can do to make your betochen go further. But cut your needs. Need less, you can take your betochen further because it doesn't work out. You'll regret less. If you need a lot, you're not always going to get it, so you're going to have charotas. So now your betochen is
need your wants.
Need less. You can work that out for yourself. How much are you lying to yourself? Do I need this? Do I want it?
They at least start with want.
Whatever, start with want. Okay. You said, I told you it's personal. First, have a look and see what your family needs. What does your wife need? It's not just based on you always. There's a whole chapter dealing with the people that you're responsible for being the father. You have to take into account their level. You know? They're complicated, but I'm saying start simple, otherwise you'll never do it. Start very, very simple. Have a look at how much time you're spending and how much you can cut back and how much you can dedicate from your working time to your avoided time. And see, start with 5 minutes. And by the way, if you see that you have more time in the day because you're making less ishtadlis, then doesn't mean you should sleep longer. Because then you're fooling yourself. A guy realizes that he can save up an hour. He doesn't have to work that extra hour. That extra hour anyway, the law, for him, it's not important. If he didn't work that extra hour, doesn't matter what would happen, he would never have charot. Yeah? Now he's got an extra hour in the day. What does he do with that extra hour? It's going to be very telling in terms of how sincere his betochen really is. If he uses it to sleep in an extra hour, I don't know, I would be nervous. Yeah? He uses it to come to the Beis Midrash an hour earlier, or he uses it to go to Bikur Cholim for an hour, or whatever he uses the time for. Oh, so that means he's taken the time that he was using for ishtadlis and he's now using it for Avodas Hashem. That's also ishtadlis. Learning Torah is also ishtadlis for Panosa. Yeah. I can't argue with it. If he tells me that, I can't trust it. If you tell me that, it's mamash from the horse's mouth, the marshal of Shmuel. Questions, comments, reaction. Welcome back, kid.
So much.
It's a good permanent thing, this, or you?
Still figuring it out, but I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've got work to do today. Rav Kaplan's Yortzeit was yesterday. I took over Rav Kaplan's Moshe. It was Yortzeit yesterday. So they're being Oile Lekever today. So they phoned me, put it to 10 this morning. I'm not going to be Oile Lekever. I said, how can I miss the first time's month? So, I'm only here for the Neshama. Okay, so that's... Last question.
What was the question?
I don't know about whether he should regret. The question was, should a person regret having too much money? So that's a murkav question, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's not a simple question. If you're sure like this kid, when he lived in Yerushalayim, in the old city, in the old days, the late Rav Brisk, Saraf Mibrisk. So he owned what is today downtown Rehov Yafa. You know that strip from the old city up Rehov Yafa? So he owned that piece of swamp. It was a dead piece of land. There was nothing going on there. So one day his son came to tell him that they've earmarked that for the central business district of Jerusalem and the property price is going to go up. They're going to make a fortune. He ran quickly and he sold it. Ran quickly and sold it as a swamp before it started going up. He said he didn't want his family to have money. It's not conducive to avoid us Hashem to have too much money. In other words, to go look for the money, I don't know. But if you have it, it's an enormous responsibility to have that extra wealth. Just there's extra wealth, money. The Chodos of Abba says three categories of wealth. Your basic need, but extra, and then there's above all that. It's a superb responsibility and an enormous nisoy. It's an enormous nisoy. I've never had the experience of it, but I know in my business you get to meet people who have that nisoy. It's not a posh nisoy. Not a posh nisoy. To know that that money is not yours and you have to distribute me and just to go back stock there. Money is very choshuv, but it brings with a lot of tzolus. It comes with a lot of problems. Shlomo Melech summed it up. I mean, we all know the famous Shlomo Melech. Not to have too much, not to have too little. Too much money is a problem. Too little money is a problem. You cover that, Hashem gives you what you need. And then you go about making mishtadlis based on your what's normal for you. Yeah, money is a very dangerous thing. We see it, people win a lottery. What happens to them? You know, we see. So I'll tell you what the problem is. We think that I would be like this, the same Yates of Horror, the same whatever, aspirations and whatever. Just with more money, I would be the same. It's not true. If you would get a lot of money, your Yates of Horror would have to adapt itself accordingly. Then you've got new struggles and new challenges and new battles. In some ways, God forbid, you lost your money, and then you would also be tested in a new way that you didn't know. We daven that we should have enough for what we need. And that's what a person governs. If you know what to do with $10 million properly, you daven for that as well. But make sure that you use it for what you were davening for. You want it because you want to be marketing, you want to be stocking, you want to open up a cure organization. Yeah, when you get the money, the eight sort of says, what cure organization? Are you mad? You know? But if you'll do the good with it, you see, before you get the money, your Yetzer Hara is this big. When you get the money, your Yetzer Hara is now this big. So it's a big struggle. What do you do with the money? Rabbi Kiva Eger had a mechuta. His son-in-law, his father, was a big, big gvir in Europe in those days. Fantastic gvir. But he had a real big nisoy, and his son explained, he had a real big nisoy giving away money. He could, it was mamash, a big, big nisoy for him. So what did he do? Poor person used to come to his door, he stuck out a bag of money, put it on the table, turn around and say, take whatever you need, but I can't watch. He found a way to give. He found a way to overcome his nisoy. But he had a massive nisoy. He was able to be a mechutma of Rebbe Kiva Eger. But that was the nisoy. I could write a book on people that I've met on my journey fundraising, okay? That you see it. You see it. It's, you can't understand it. They can't give. He wants to. He's promising and he's writing emails and he's you think I'll go through him keep without sending you the check I promised you 6 months ago. It was 10 years ago, so let me see the check. So having money is dangerous for that person. But you would be better off without being rich. Because eventually Hashem says, I see you don't know how to run the business properly. I'll take it. I'll give it to somebody who doesn't know how to run it. You know, wealth is a dangerous thing. Whether you regret having it, I don't know. That's you have to be holding on a certain level. That's already a darga. Having karate that you've got too much money. It was a mice. Melech Pidiman told a mice of a certain person. He was having problems with panosis. He came to the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, okay, you left panosis. You doubled whatever. He gave him a brocha. He made a lot of money. He came to me complaining. I never knew I had so many relatives. So the Rebbe said, you want me to give you a brocha and that you lose all the money again? No. Just make the relatives go away. So you can have karotik, it's something you realize. You've got a big family, you didn't know about them before. Well, Mez Hashem, tomorrow we'll carry on the Sefer, but I just wanted to nail down that to sort of the Shtadlis, give you something to think about. Ah.